Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight. Praise God. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to come and be in the presence of the Lord. And before we begin our worship service here tonight, we are going to pray as we always do, because we do need the Lord's help so very much. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here. We thank Thee for this opportunity. We thank Thee for this chance. For we know, O God, that our days are numbered, but we thank Thee that Thou hast given us this day where we can come before Thee and worship Thee and sing Thy praises and glorify Thy name and study Thy word. And I pray, Lord, that Thy presence would be here tonight. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us here this night. I pray that each and everything we do here this night would be pleasing in Thy sight. And we ask for Thy blessing and Thy anointing to be upon this service. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We are going to open our chorus books to number 144 to begin with. We have come into this house, number 144. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. About yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Praise the Lord, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify Christ the Lord. We have come into God. It's wonderful to worship the Lord. You know, God is seeking those who will worship Him, and not just worship Him in spirit, but worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So He is seeking those that will worship Him, and we, when we come together and we worship Him, we are seeking Him. Praise God. And we know that we are to seek Him. And for it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we come here and we worship Him. And when we worship Him, we are seeking Him. And yes, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But you know, that reward isn't a cash prize. That reward isn't a free meal at a restaurant. That reward is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We are going to turn now to number 159 and sing Seek Ye First. Number 159.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. shall find it. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn now to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of to the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship
you, God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 169 and sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. Praise the Lord. Of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be able to worship God right now, but we're going to also be worshiping Him in the world to come. Praise God. And we're going to be able to do that for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Tim, could you give us a hand with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all thy abundant blessings. We thank thee for thy sustaining power, for thy mercy and thy grace, which has kept us for so many years. We are just grateful to be here, grateful to have this opportunity, grateful to have this place where we can come together and glorify thy holy name. And we ask, O God, that thy leading hand would continue to be upon this ministry. Give us thy great wisdom. Give us thy understanding. Help us to know how to use these funds for thy purpose, for thy glory. And we pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing one more song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And we are going to turn to number 26 and sing, In His Presence There's Fullness of Joy. Number 26. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship! Tell you what, I can feel His presence here tonight. I hope you all can too. Praise the Lord. We are going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. And you know, it is wonderful to be in the Lord's presence. I don't know if everybody's ever got there. You know, honestly, there's nothing like it. You know, when you're in God's presence, everything else dissolves. The cares of this life and all the worries and all of that, it goes away. Because there's something greater than that. Praise the Lord, and we serve Him. He's a mighty God who knows how to take care of every problem and every need. He knows how to supply, and there is nothing too hard for Him. That's the God we serve. And you know, we can draw nigh to God and know that He will draw nigh to us. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Amen. And oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be in His presence. You know, it's a beautiful thing to have fellowship. So delighted to see Bill and Sue come in. You know, if anybody online is wondering why they're not online, it's because they're here. Praise the Lord. And Brother Tim is here, and that's very special. And most of all, God is here. God is here. His presence is here. And praise the Lord. You know, we can reach out. You know, we're not in that world where He walked the seas of Galilee, but yet through faith we can touch His garment. Through faith we can be made whole. You know, that simple act of faith, reaching out, touching Him, you know, believing it's going to happen. Maybe not knowing when, but believing that God is able to meet every need and there's nothing too hard for Him. We could just get that in our heads. Amen. And just believe He's going to do it. What He has said He's going to do. Amen. Because He's God. And there's nothing too hard for Him. And He has a people. A people that He has called. A people that He has foreordained. A people that He knows. And a people that know Him. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here. Praise the Lord. It certainly is good to be back. We would greet you from John and Dawn in the church that is in Michigan. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for what You've done in our hearts. Oh, God, we thank You for this opportunity to be here, Lord. Oh, God, the fact that we could draw nigh to You knowing, oh, God, that You will draw nigh to us. Oh, God, that we can feast, oh, Lord, on that heavenly manna. And, oh, Lord, that we can feel Thy presence and Thy touch and know that You are here, Lord. I just pray that You move here tonight. I pray that You would meet the needs of Your people, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You'd move the mountains that need to go. Give us, oh, Lord, that insight that we need from You, God. Those answers that we seek, I pray that You'd give them to us, Lord. Pray that You talk to our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that You'd bind the strong man and every spirit of opposition that might try to come and take over. But, oh, God, You are here, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank You, Jesus. We pray that You'd be here. Oh, Lord, we pray that You'd talk, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd have Your way, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd take these words and use them, God. Oh, Lord, I know I could do nothing without You, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You would move in Jesus' name, oh, Lord. Let this word, oh, God, go forth and do that which, oh, God, You have willed it to do. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name I ask. By the power of the blood, Lord, move in Jesus' name and set us free. Oh, God, give us that which we have need of in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, praise our God. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking a little bit about sheep here tonight and the great shepherd that leads us. We'll call this message The Flock of the Lord's Pastures. The Flock of the Lord's Pastures. And, you know, I overheard a bit of conversation, I think, the other Sunday. And I know Carla was talking about how they once had sheep on their farm. And I don't know, I think maybe not for too long, because it seems that the sheep were always getting in trouble. And they ended up being really difficult to control. And I know she was mentioning that, you know, they'd get their head stuck in the fence. And, oh, they'd have to go and get it out, you know, help the sheep get the head out of the fence.
And that sheep would go back and do it again. And then maybe again, you know, and it's like it never learned. Well, Jesus likened his people unto sheep. And as it seems that sheep are not just the most brilliant, I guess that speaks of us too, you know. Oh my, we have so much to learn, you know, and I know how it is with children. It seems like, you know, you have to teach them everything. You know, you can't take hardly anything for granted and believe that they're going to automatically know it. It just seems like there's a lot of teaching that has to go on and a lot of instruction and a lot of correction all the time because that propensity to always get in trouble, that propensity to go astray and to forget, and oh my, how we need those reminders and how we need that guidance, how we need that leading. But as it is with sheep, the one who leads them, that is so important. You know, if they've got the sheep have, you know, hireling that's leading them, that hireling isn't going to care what happens to them. He's not going to care if they get in trouble. You know, he's going to let that wolf come and get them and gobble them up. You know, it isn't going to matter because it's a hireling. But in the spiritual sense, how we need guidance that is based on the Word of God. The Bible, our roadmap, you know. I just recently talked to this man. Please forgive me, I've mentioned him before, but this was rather a striking experience, I guess, and how the Lord led. But, you know, he has problems. He has cancer, and you know, he has emphysema, and he wasn't so sure on how long he was going to live. But we began to talk about the things of the Lord and getting right with God and all those kind of things. And, you know, he said he didn't believe in a hell. Then he said he didn't believe all the things that were written in the Bible, because I said, well, hell is in the Bible. We've got to go by the Bible. He said, well, I don't believe all those things that are in the Bible. I said, well, then we don't have a road map. That we don't have guidance. How are we going to know how to go? You know, what is consistent in this world? What else can we stand on? But God has given us something, oh, such a treasure in our earthen vessels. He's given us, oh, yes, His Word. And then He puts the Spirit within us so that He can lead us, that He can guide us, that He can show us things to come. And we don't have to get into trouble. We don't have to go astray, because when we're led by the Holy Ghost, we're led by the Shepherd, that great Shepherd who knows His sheep and is known of them. Oh, yes, that great Shepherd that gave His life for His sheep. For we know that we are all as sheep going astray. Oh, yes, every one of us had gone our own way and got into trouble, into our own philosophies and way of thinking, and probably thinking we were doing fine. But there was one, there was a great Shepherd that came. Oh, and He reached out. Oh, I don't know what entanglements we had, but He began to untangle us. He began to deliver us. He began to set us free. He began to establish us. Oh, praise the Lord. He took us out of the pit, that pit of sin, and He delivered us. Oh, yes, and He put us on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, that's what He did for us. We couldn't do it of our own self, our own volition, our own righteousness was nothing but filthy rags. We're all as unclean things, and there was no profit in us at all. But the Lord Jesus saw fit to call us by name. Oh, yes, and oh, to bring us to that fold. Oh, yes, so we could enter in, so we could be part of His sheep. For He said, my sheep know my voice, and have known them, and are known to me. Oh, praise the Lord. And another will they not follow. Praise the Lord, because there's only one Shepherd that knows how to get us home. There's only one Shepherd who knows how to direct our lives. And that's the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, we're going to fall every time if we listen to another. There's all kinds of hirelings. There's all kinds of false prophets out there. There's all kinds of winds of doctrine. They're all over the place. But praise the Lord, we've got the Word of God and how it guides us. How important it is, you know. Brother Tim and I were traveling yesterday. It's a long journey, I'll say. But, you know, as we were leaving Cadillac, Michigan, it was unclear just where to go. We needed to connect with Highway 35, if I'm remembering right. And it was really unclear. And, you know, so we were doing the best we could. And thank God, after we came to the end of a road, you know, there was a little sign. And it wasn't very big, but it said Highway 35. And there was an arrow. And so we knew where to go, you know? And then a few blocks later, there's another sign and another arrow. And it helped us. We got on Highway 35 that way. But how we need the guidance of the Lord. Oh my, how many people, you know, just think it's of their own intuition, their own ability to get to heaven. In fact, that man that I referred to earlier, that was his thinking. He said, well, it's all around us. Just look and see. You know, you can see. And you know, you're going to know what to do. Oh no, I think we need one greater than our own intuition, our own ability, our own judgment. I think we need God. Amen. Oh, how are we going to make it without Him? Well, how are we going to do it without His guidance in the Word of God, that roadmap that leads us to eternal life? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for what God has done. There's so many ways that man has proclaimed. There's even so many different Bibles and so many different religions. But if we can stick to this true Word of God, this wonderful Word that's given us in the King James Bible, oh yes, I believe we can find the way home. Oh yes, because it has the words of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. It's in here. It's in the book. Praise the Lord. And that's our roadmap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel tonight here. Ezekiel chapter 34. And just kind of I've been dwelling in this chapter for a while, and so I guess the Lord, I believe He is leading us here tonight. Well, we're going to be talking about the flock of the Lord's pasture here. And again, you know, this road that we live in is just full of all kinds of perils and all kinds of possibilities. And, oh, we could go to the right, we could go to the left, but, you know, the Word of God will direct us. We'll only read it and apply it and obey it. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 34 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Oh my, what is the job of a shepherd anyway? Is it not to take care of the sheep? Is it not to feed the flocks? But here he's prophesying against these shepherds that were not doing their job, that did not care for the sheep, obviously. And he says, woe to these shepherds. Oh, they're just feeding themselves. They're just indulging, oh yes, in things for their own benefit and taking what belongs to the sheep and giving it to themselves. Oh yes, you eat the fat. He clothes you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Oh, they were not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They were not regarding the sheep. They had forgotten their duty and didn't care. Oh, they were hirelings indeed. It goes on to say in verse 4, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. Oh, how sad. Everything that you were supposed to do, all the care, all the love that they were supposed to have for the sheep, it just wasn't within them at all. And they did strengthen those that were diseased. They didn't heal those that were sick. They didn't bound up those that were broken. And on it goes. Those that were driven away, they didn't go to seek them and search them out and help them. And they didn't go for those, yes, that were lost. Oh, everything that they should not be doing, they were doing. And that which they should have been doing, they were not doing. And instead, it says, with force and cruelty have you ruled them. Oh, well, I do believe the Lord has a bit to say about that. You know, that disregard that they had. And I know the Lord has put one in such a position. A shepherd is also a pastor. The word pastor means shepherd. And that describes the care that a pastor is to have for a sheep. But here it's talking about such that didn't have that desire, that didn't have those attributes at all, and were instead using force and cruelty, dominating over them, ruling over them. And believe me, this was not as God had foreordained, as God willed at all. I'll tell you, it's so necessary that we have proper attitudes in that which we do. And I know even in 1 Peter, we're told that we need not to be lords over God's heritage. In fact, that's quite a verse there in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 3, it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but rather, he says, but being in samples to the flock. That's the desired thing, to be an example, to be in samples to the flock. And I love the promise that goes with this. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But he talks about those that were in charge there of the churches as Peter was addressing them. And it does say in that second verse, to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Oh, and I'll tell you, you look at those mega churches, you wonder how in the world, you know, they could know the flock. All those people that come in the doors, they might just know a fraction of those people. How could they feed them? And what's the incentive behind all of that? Well, God knows. But we are exhorted, oh yes, of a ready mind, and not because of filthy lucre. Oh, money is not at all the reason that we minister in the pulpit. But oh yes, there's a mission that God has given us to do. That's the mission, to go after the sheep. Oh yes, to tend to the sheep, to do what is necessary for the sheep. And so, here's this description back here in Ezekiel 34. And because of these false shepherds, these hirelings, it tells us in verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Oh, in other words, they were preyed upon. There was nobody guarding them. There was nobody helping them. And therefore, they became scattered. There was no one to lead them. And that made them meat to all the beasts of the field because they were scattered out there alone. Here one, there one, everywhere, just scattered. Well, I think it's kind of amazing what Jesus saw there when he ministered here on earth. It describes it in the 9th chapter of Matthew. And it talks about how Jesus, as he was ministering there, he went from city to city, city in the villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, going around doing good. But it tells us in Matthew 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, what a need there is in this hour that we live. You know, Jesus saw that need at that point. Oh, the people, they were fainting. They were scattered. They were as sheep without a shepherd. They were just here and there, and nobody to really lead them and guide them. Oh, yes, they had the scribes. They had the Pharisees. But who were they? Oh, they were so proud. You know, they just went around in their long robes and made long prayers and all these pretenses. And then, if they did make a proselyte, they made him twofold the child of hell. That was what was in their heart. They were hirelings. They didn't care for the people. They were just there for show, you know, to be seen a man, to make long prayers, to wear long robes, to look holy on the outside. But inside, they were like white as sepulchers, filled with dead man's bones. That is what they were like on the inside, dead men's bones. Jesus saw the need in that hour. And how is it in this hour? Oh, I know in the book of Amos, it talks about that there would become a famine in the land. Not a famine for food or of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. It talks about the people going from place to place, trying to find the word of the Lord from the north to the east, everywhere, trying to look, trying to find it, seeking, searching. Where do I find a church? Where can I find somebody who knows Jesus? And there's hardly anybody to lead, to direct. Oh, yes, to guide, to shepherd the people. Hardly anybody at all. Yes, and it's so just this description here, Ezekiel, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Oh, they were preyed upon. Oh, yes, people could take advantage of them because, yes, there wasn't anybody to guide them. They were out there alone. It says, my sheep wandered through all mountains, all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Isn't that pathetic? All the sheep going here, going there. And you can just see that, you know, in the physical sense, sheep, you know, looking for grass, looking for something to be nourished with, and, you know, nobody to lead them, no shepherd to guide them, just individually going here, going there, trying to find some green grass that they could partake of. Well, spiritually, yes, there is a famine in the land. Oh, yes. Oh, my. That famine of hearing the words of the Lord, the true word of God, the anointed word of God that comes forth from people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, people that know the Scripture and have hidden it in their hearts. But the sheep are wandering through all the mountains and upon every high hill, it tells us, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, here, there, everywhere. And none did search or seek after them. So God goes on here through Ezekiel the prophet. Tells us in verse 7, here is the word to the shepherds. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of a field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Oh, just taking in the dues, you know, for their own benefits, for their own luxuries, and, oh, whatever, oh, fleecing the people. Oh, yeah, so the people didn't know, you know, they were just trying to give out of their hearts, but they were given to harlots so often, and they weren't true shepherds. They weren't searching or seeking after the sheep. Oh, they were just using them as victims, taking advantage of them. So the sheep scattered. Oh, yes, and they wandered here and there trying to find the word of the Lord. So it goes on. Verse 9, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a great shepherd, oh yes, who was going to deliver his sheep from the hand of those who could care less. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Oh, can you just see this? The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, putting on flesh, coming to this world to seek and to save those that were lost. Oh, he saw the need. He saw that there was no intercessor. Oh, there was nobody to take his place. There was nobody to stand in the gap. And so what did our God do? Oh my, what did our God do? He put on flesh to come to this world. Oh yes, it describes that in the book of Isaiah. Oh yes, there's a description. Oh yes, Isaiah 59. It says in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, praise the Lord God Almighty, seeing there was none that could make way for the individuals that were fainting, that had great need. Oh yes, it needed salvation. There was no man, there was no intercessor, there was no one to take their place and to pay that penalty for sin. Therefore his arm, oh, the Lord reaching out to us, that arm, that extension of God robing himself in flesh, coming to this world as a servant. Oh yes, to find his sheep. Oh yes, to find those that had gone astray. And we were all as sheep that had gone astray, it tells us in Isaiah 53. Oh yes, we had all turned to our own ways. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In spite of all our wrongdoings, in spite of all our sin, all our contrariness, oh yes, all our ugliness, the Lord putting on flesh, coming as that arm of God, that extension to reach, to save, to find, to heal. Oh yes, to mend, to do all those things that only he could do. Praise the Lord, putting on flesh to come to this world. Yes, to seek it, to save those that were lost. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what our God did, putting on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head, the garments of vengeance for clothing, and clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Oh, yes, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He was going to go forth and do it. and it was going to be done. And yes, thank God it was done. Everything that was written was done. It was fulfilled. Praise the Lord seeking, looking for His sheep, going here, going there to find that one that had gone astray, going to find that one, oh yes, that was injured, that one that could not help himself, herself. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what the Lord did, reaching out, oh yes, doing whatever was necessary to find us, to redeem us, to save us, oh yes, to make us one of His own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's what our God did. So our God putting on flesh. And so it says, yes, verse 11 again, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You know, that's quite a description there in verse 12. So he talks about that cloudy and dark day. They had been scattered. In other words, it was obscure. Things weren't clear, you know. Spiritually, isn't the world like that right now? Oh my, who's pointing the way? Who's directing the people? Oh, I would say that it's cloudy, that it's dark, that people don't know where to go. Oh, where to find the living waters. They look in all kinds of directions. That's why people go to Hinduism. Yes, that's why they might become a Buddhist. Maybe that's why they become a Wiccan. Because they're searching, they're looking. And where's the shepherd to show them the way? Where's the shepherd that will seek them out? Where's the shepherd that will deliver them? Oh yes, the Lord Himself made ways so that we could come to Him. Oh, together, His children, together, His elect. And oh, what a need there is in this time when things are obscure, when things are unclear, where there's no roadmap, no real direction. So many times, people just wandering around, looking here, looking there, going there, not knowing where to look. Oh my, what a day we live in. And such a need there is in this world with all these obstructions, with all these hindrances, with all these false shepherds, all these false Bibles, all these unclear doctrines, these doctrines of man. Oh yes, this man-made thinking that is proliferated through the pulpits of churches. How sad. But here's the promise of God here in Ezekiel 34, verse 13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Oh, the Lord leading, the Lord guiding, the Lord making a way for those that are His. I think how the gospel cry goes out. Oh, how the need is at this very hour. And I believe, I don't know if this is the last cry at this moment, but it's described in Revelation, the 14th chapter. Oh yes, with John in verse 6, he saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Oh, it has to go out. The gospel has to be preached to the whole world before the end comes. And I don't know just how it has reached. Well, I know there are people that the Lord is gathering at this moment. But oh yes, that cry, says, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Oh, yes, turn from your wicked ways. Give your lives to the Lord. Give glory to Him. Fear God. Come, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him which made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, that cry that needs to go out. Oh, yes, to bid those to the living water. Oh, so many that were bidden. There are the stories that Jesus told. We're not worthy. Oh, yes, that invitation came out. And oh, yes, that request, come to the wedding supper. Come. But so many of them made excuse, didn't they? Oh, yes. Well, I just bought some land, and I've got to go see it. Well, I just bought, you know, I just bought some new cattle, and you know, I've got to just make sure that, you know, they're taken care of and put away properly. All of this is, oh yes, I just got married, and I just can't go now. They all made excuse, didn't they? But the Lord had, oh yes, His servants go out and gather those. Oh yes, maybe the halt, the lame, the blind, and, you know, those that you wouldn't maybe think of inviting to the wedding feast. But that house had to be full. There had to be people in that house. So they had to go and gather them. And so they did. They went out to the streets. And they gathered them. But yet there was room. Oh yes, so they could still go out into the highways and gather those that yet remained, those sheep that were scattered, the sheep that had not yet been bidden. Oh yes, that's what the Lord had His servants do. And that's a great need in this hour. Oh yes, the need to bring forth the remnant. Oh yes, to bring forth the people. The promises of God are so great, you know. His promise that He would sustain His people, that He would deliver His people. Oh, yes, that He would set them free, all the things that have bound them up. Oh, yes, all the things that have trapped them. Oh, yes, the lack of knowledge and the misunderstandings. And so often I think of the young people. Oh, yes, those that are sent maybe particularly to the public schools and brainwashed and being told this and that. And, you know, how are they to know? How are they to be directed? But there is a good shepherd that goes out. Oh, yes, to intervene. Oh, yes, He made intercession for us. And, oh, He knows how to gather His children, be the young, be the old. Oh, be the in-between. He knows how to bring them out of their predicaments, out of their troubles. Oh, yes, out of their captivity. I love how Isaiah wrote it. In Isaiah 61, it says in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Oh, praise the Lord, there's people in captivity. There's people that are bound with evil spirits and all manners of hindrances that need to be delivered, that need to be set free. What did Jesus do? Oh, yes, one of His very first miracles was casting out devils, wasn't it? Oh, yes. Oh, what is, oh, His many miracles. Yes, to heal those that were blind. Oh, yes, to unplug the ears of those that were deaf. Whatever all He could do to help those, oh, that had such great need at that time. But that's what the gospel is all about. That's what the good tidings are all about. Yes, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know, Satan holds his people in bondage. He doesn't open up his prison walls, does he? But the Lord Jesus, oh, He came that those prison walls might be unloosed. Oh, yes, the captives might go free. Yes, the prisoners might be released and find the living water, find true salvation. Oh, yes, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, it's all for him, but he takes us. Oh, yes. And he makes us free indeed. Oh, yes, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, yes, where you're released from sin, there is liberty in the Lord Jesus. Sin binds. Oh, it's like chains that entangle people. People are slaves to their sin and their bondage. But the Lord Jesus came to this world to deliver, to set free. Oh, yes, he paid that price at Calvary. Oh, yes, so that there might be deliverance. Oh, yes, so those chains might be snapped. The prisoner might go free and they might walk away. Repented and baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, that's why he came. Oh, yes, to deliver us. Oh, yes, so we don't have to walk in the traps and the snares of the devil. Oh, we don't have to be his people, his, you know, his emissaries. We can be the servants of the Lord. Oh, yes, he has delivered us. Oh, he has set us free. And that's why Jesus came. He says here in Ezekiel 34, verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. He's talking about being blessed. The Lord providing for our needs. Oh, the Lord making a way when it seems like there's no way. Oh, the Lord healing us when we're sick. Oh, yes, saving us. Oh, when we need salvation, delivering us from our sin. All of those things are bondage. Oh, yes, so that they might lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. It says in verse 15, I will feed my flock. Oh, he feeds us. We've got this living word. We've got the manna that comes from heaven. He says, I will feed my flock. Oh, he puts his words in our heart. He directs our path. He's our shepherd, and he leads us step by step, so that we don't stumble, so we don't fall, so we don't get off the track, go to the right or go to the left, or, oh, yes, end up in hell. He says, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. You know what that means? It means that the Lord is giving rest. Rest, a rest such as the world can't give. You know, it's no wonder Jesus cried there in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Oh, he cried, and he said, let me just get here once. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, he's talking about a rest that only he could give. You know that he would take our burdens. Oh, yes, he would take our struggles. He would take our sin. We'll just come unto him. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you rest. Oh, there's nothing like that rest of the Holy Ghost that he gives unto his people. Oh, yes, that living water that he brings us forth to walk by. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Isaiah 28, verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Oh, what he offered. Oh, yes, as it came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, those cloven tongues, like as a fire that set upon each of them. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Oh, yes, that was the rest coming forth. Oh, yes, that rest. Oh, yes, it would dwell within them. Jesus said, I have to go, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He assured them that he was going to come unto them. Oh, yes, you know, I'm with you now, he told them, but I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to come unto you. And that's what he was talking about when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about that living water that he was offering. Oh, that joy. With joy you shall draw waters out of the wells of living water. Oh, yes, you can dig deep because that well knows no bottom. There's always more of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, that you could consume, that you can drink. Oh, praise the Lord. And that water, oh, it provides for us. It satisfies us. It quenches that thirst, that thirst. Oh, where will I go? What shall I do? Where, to whom can I seek? Oh, the living water is the answer the Lord has given us. Oh, yes, and he was declaring it here in Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh, why do so many people ignore the mercy of God, his goodness, his provisions, his wonderful gift? Oh, yes, Isaiah talked about it in chapter 32, verse 15. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, Isaiah 30, verse 15, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. Oh, he offers so much. Returning, yes, returning to God. Oh, yes, leaving your burdens at his feet, leaving those sins at his feet, turning away from them, returning to God, and rest, the rest of the Holy Ghost, shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Oh, yes, letting the good shepherd fight your battles, giving it over to him. Oh, yes, in quietness and confidence, letting him do the work. Yes, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yes, give it all over to me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. He declared there in Matthew 11. But all the promises of God, the things that he has declared, oh yes, that offering that he has for his people in his seeking. Oh yes, and his looking down again here in Ezekiel 34, verse 15, I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Yes, he's giving rest. And it says in verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Oh, yes, the tables turn, don't they? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, when the Lord comes to judge this earth, he comes to redeem his people, those, oh, yes, which he has called forth, those which are called and chosen and faithful, his people, his sheep. Oh, what a day it's going to be. But he says, I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. The tables turn. Oh, yes, if we're not in Christ, if we're not dwelling in Him, if, oh, yes, we haven't turned our lives over to Him, there's certain judgment. But on the other hand, there he goes out, oh, the good shepherd, seeking his sheep, looking for his sheep, that one that went astray. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Oh, that's our Lord going about, oh yes, to find his sheep, to find that one that went astray. Oh, how gracious and how precious. And there is none like that that would care. Oh, that would look. You know, the shepherd that goes out to find his sheep. Oh, yes. And that was illustrated also as Jesus taught, as he shared the living word of God. He did talk about that sheep that had gone astray. Oh, yes. And what does it tell us? It tells us that he would leave the 99 that were safe in order to go and find that one that needed to be found. Oh, yes, there in Luke 15, it says in verse 1, that drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Oh, that's the care. That's the love. Oh, there's nothing can compare him leaving those that were in the fold, that were well cared for, yes, that had guidance, but going out to find that one that was struggling, that one who had got away, that one that was lost, going out to find it and searching and looking until that sheep was found. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. Oh, when we were out there, yes, when we did have sense in ourselves to know the living God, he went out to find us. Oh, yes, he maybe sent somebody our way, possibly. Somehow he made himself known to us. Yes, because we were a sheep that had gone astray and had turned everyone to their own way. Oh, praise the Lord. And he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Praise the Lord. Our God going forth to seek that which was lost. It tells us here in Ezekiel 34, verse 17, and as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Oh, he knows all the particulars, doesn't he? Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Oh, those that had good, that you know should have been in a capacity to lead, to find, to search, to save those that were lost by the living word of God. But yet, oh, that was not in their hearts. Oh, they had tread down with their feet the residue of God's people, those that needed to be found. Oh, yes, they made the water fall with their feet. It says in verse 19, as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet. And they drink that which ye have followed with your feet. Oh, that trampling. Oh, yes. Devouring. Seeking only that which is their own. Oh, not taking care for the sheep, but only using it for their own advantage. Filthy lucre and everything else. Having beautiful homes and vehicles and cars. Like, I know I had a sister-in-law years ago that was so disgusted because a couple of ministering individuals pulled up at this motel where she worked, and they were driving these expensive cars. They each had one, and one said Reverend and the other said Mrs. Reverend, and it was so disgusting to her. But so often that's what happens. Those that should be leading, those that should be guiding, those should be caring for the sheep, are instead trampling them and taking advantage of them and fleecing them in every way they can. Oh, it's not right. It's not good. God saw it as pretty rotten. It says here in verse 20, Ezekiel 34, therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. The Lord, again, what did he do? Oh, yes, he put on righteousness, didn't he? Oh, yes, that helmet on his head and everything else, that cloak of zeal that he put upon himself, because there was none that would intervene. There was none to intercess. There was none to deliver. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Oh, the Lord going forth. Oh, to save his flock, to find them, to gather them. Oh, yes, so that there would be one shepherd. And there's going to be one fold. And it tells us, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Oh, yes, God making a way. God bringing forth a new covenant. Oh, yes, a covenant of peace, a covenant that none other could make. His first covenant was not followed. It was not adhered to. But he was going to make a covenant of peace, an everlasting covenant. As it tells us in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Oh, yes, no question about it. He came forth, yes, putting on flesh. Oh, that child was born, that son was given in the government. Oh, yes, that spiritual government was upon his shoulders. It was going to be a government in which there would be no end. Oh, yes, it would be a government where there would be increase and there would be peace in his kingdom. Oh, peace stops, the world gives. As Jesus promised, I give you peace that no man can give. He declared, oh yes. And that is what he brought forth. He came forth to minister. He came forth, yes, with his covenant. He was presenting it as he walked among the people, as he healed the sick, as he delivered those that were under demonic possession. In all of those wonderful deeds that he did, yes, he was teaching the people and he was bringing forth a new covenant. It would be a new covenant in his blood. He would pay dearly for it. But he was going to bring forth a covenant. Oh, yes, an everlasting covenant. A covenant of peace. Oh, yes, a peace that would fill the heart and satisfy the soul. Oh, a peace that there would be no end. Oh, how I thank God for that peace, that He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, yes, the floods of life can be overwhelming. Oh, they can be pressing us. There could be trouble. There could be trials. There could be heartaches. There could be sorrow. There could be sickness. There could be death. But yet there is a peace that only the Lord gives us. And yes, He brought forth a covenant of peace. And with that, He says in verse 25, "And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, again, He was going to bring forth His Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of eternal God that was in Him. He was going to put it in His people. He's going to put the Holy Ghost in His people. So, oh, yes, we could be led by the Spirit of God so we could know the voice of the Shepherd and go forth, oh, yes, to do His work. Oh, yes, to minister to the people. Oh, yes, to declare the wonderful words of the gospel, the wonderful covenant of peace. Oh, it talks about it in Hosea, the 6th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. Hosea 6, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal, He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." Oh, praise the Lord, when the breath of the Holy Ghost comes upon us. You know, those dead bones in Ezekiel's boneyard that he saw, oh yes, they begin to come together, didn't they? They begin to connect. Oh yes, they begin to look like a human being again. But they weren't alive until the breath of the Lord came upon them. Oh, yes, they came together, you know, joint by joint. The sinews, the flesh, all came upon, oh, yes, those bones. But it wasn't until God breathed upon them the breath of life, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Oh, yes, then, oh, yes, then they had the living water. Oh, yes, then they had the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that was in God. Then they were partaking of those showers of blessing. Oh, yes, that is referred to here in Ezekiel, this 34th chapter. "And I will make them, and the places round about my hill, a blessing." Oh, God, He's rebuking the devourer. He said that, you know, we would trample the enemy. Yes, that's right. And He gave us power, that Holy Ghost power, to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And He said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Yes, He said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Yes, He gave His church Holy Ghost power and authority. Oh, yes, to make them a blessing. Oh, yes, so that they, oh, yes, could walk in safety. They could walk in the Spirit. Oh, yes, they could walk being led by the Good Shepherd. Oh, yes, the one who leads His people day by day and moment by moment. And as it tells us again, verse 26, "I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing." All those showers that He bestows upon His people. And He says it's going to be an early rain and a latter rain. And here we are at the end of the world. Oh, yes, there's a latter rain. Yes, God is still breathing on His people. He's still setting forth the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's still happening in this world and how we need it at this moment. Oh, how we need the living water in these times, oh, yes, that are so perilous. Full of turmoil, full of confusion. Oh, yes, people so astray, people so confused. But yet, the Lord has direction for us. He has guidance for us. He has a way to lead us He knows how to lead his flock and bring them to those waters of living water. Oh, he knows how to restore their souls in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, he knows how to do all those things. It says in verse 27 here in Ezekiel 34, "And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them." Oh, yes, the devil took advantage of him, of the people, of all of us. He didn't loosen those chains. He didn't loosen those bonds. Oh no, he takes people and takes advantage of them. He holds them captive. Oh yes, as in a snare. He doesn't want anything to let them go. But the Lord made a way, oh yes, so that the captive could be released. Oh, that those chains could be broken in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the power of his blood. And he says, "They shall no more be a prey to the heathen. Neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid." Oh yes, because we've got that peace that passes all understanding. We've got it deep down in our heart, and no man can take it away, even though the world may be raging, the storm violent, and turning and churling and everything else, but yet we've got that peace in our heart, the peace that the Lord gives us that no man can take away. Oh, and those reassurances, those promises, that hope that he puts deep within us. "They shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. And they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore." Oh, you know, it maybe started small. As our Lord came forth, you know, tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Tells us in John, that first chapter, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God to them that received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. "Which were born out of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God." Oh, praise the Lord, that new birth that he gives us when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes. The pleasure of the Lord as he puts it within our very beings. Oh, yes. He came, oh, yes, unknown to this world. It tells us in Isaiah 53, it asks, actually, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Oh, that's our Savior that came into this world so unrecognized and so rejected, so despised, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And oh, yes, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. So unacknowledged, here he was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But praise the Lord, he was doing it for us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. That's what he was doing when he came forth to this world as the good shepherd. Oh, yes. To find his people. To find his sheep. Oh, yes. To lead them into those green pastures. To restore their souls. Oh, yes. To do all those things that they might be blessed in this world and for all eternity. Yes, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. A little parable here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, that Jesus told. I think it applies to this situation here. It says in the 31st verse here in Matthew 13, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Oh, Jesus came forth to sow the seed. Oh, to bring forth the kingdom of God. He wasn't recognized. He said he was rejected and despised, but he was sowing the good seed. He was coming forth that his people might know him. And oh, yes, it was going to grow. His kingdom was going to grow. It might have started as a single little seed, a tiny little seed, a little mustard seed. But it was going to grow, and it was going to bring forth. It was going to become the greatest of all the trees. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us here in Ezekiel 34, as we finish this chapter, thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord, and ye are my flock. The flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. Oh, he told them, ye are my flock. Oh, yes, they're men, they're individuals. They're the sheep that I came to find, those sheep that I came to seek, to look for. Oh, that's why Jesus came. Oh, he was looking for the flock of his pasture. I think it might be fitting to end with a single little verse here from Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 32, where Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Oh, yes, we might not be many, but oh, praise the Lord, it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Oh, yes, we were all as sheep that had gone astray. We had turned every one to our own ways. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all, those horrendous sins. Oh, those iniquities were laid on Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so that we could be his sheep, we could be his flock. Oh, yes, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, it says here, Ezekiel 34, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Oh, our gracious Father, who came to make a way, oh, yes, to restore those things that had been taken from us, those things that the devil devoured, that trampling that had, oh, yes, gone on by those that were false. But praise the Lord for the good shepherd that came to seek and to save those that were lost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. Amen. Oh, we have such a great privilege and also a responsibility, yes, to bring forth the true word of God. Oh, yes, that the people would not be misled, that they would not be trampled on. Oh, yes, that they would not be mistaught, but to bring forth these words of everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You want to come, Tim? Would you like to come? We're going to have Brother Tim come and close this. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody here and good to be here. And I want to say thank you, Shirley, for a wonderful message. And it's always very edifying. And I know that, you know, especially nowadays, the world is pulling and pushing us in every way but towards God. And we need someone to believe in. I think it should be the Lord. We should trust in Him, don't you think? Yeah. Our only hope in this wicked world is to trust in the Lord our God, our Savior, our Shepherd. I didn't expect to be up here tonight, so I'm not prepared in a way that maybe perhaps I normally might be. But a song does come to mind. Perhaps we could go there. I'm thinking of that song called "Unto Thee." Where is that located? "Unto Thee, O Lord." It's in the chorus book, I know. Remember what one?
159.
Is it what? 159?
139.
If we could, here we go. "Unto Thee, O Lord." If we could go there in closing and sing. "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me." Praise the Lord. And you can be dismissed unto prayer. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Thank you.